A North Carolina's 15-year-old who allegedly killed five and injured two in a mass shooting spree last week will be charged as an adult. Family and classmates of the shooter said they were shocked he would have done something like that. For more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Ron Aviaster, professor of education and informational studies at UCLA, who studies school violence. Professor, thanks very much for your insight.
Thank you for having me here.
I know I'm dating when I say this, but I went to Columbine. I was sent there as a reporter to cover it. And at that time, we thought, oh, my gosh, this could never possibly happen. And to me, in my mind, that was the start of a chain and series of events like that.
Yes, it actually was happening long before Columbine. Columbine was the watershed moment where the media picked up on it internationally. And from that point on, we've been getting quite a bit of media on the mass shootings, but there's documentation that this has been happening long before Columbine happened. We just didn't know about it as a country. We didn't log it or keep record of it.
Are there similarities, having studied each of these events, that you can see? Is it the kids that are being bullied? Is there a demographic that there is similar?
Yeah, I think the way we frame it in our society is usually one thing or the other. It's either mental health or access to weapons or being bullied. But I think what we see with the shooters is a very different kind of pattern. Of course, not every single one of them or all of them. But what we don't talk about is that many of them tend to be suicidal, and they have high suicidal ideation and with a plan. And they think they plan to take other people out with them. They have a lot of examples in the media of prior people who have done that, and they tend to be obsessed with the other shooters. They tend to focus on arsenals, on collecting arsenals and on guns, and on ideologies that promote hate and support their kind of view of committing suicide and figuring out. The big thing that we don't talk about very often is that the frequency of the media reporting and how the media reports on it, it's similar to suicide events or terrorism events. It actually can increase the frequency. And I think there's a lot we could do around that, because kids who are feeling suicidal have access to weapons or collecting arsenals, have all those kinds of attributes, may go ahead and do this just so they'll be remembered as they take other people out. The media needs to start following, in my opinion, some of the rules that they have around suicide prevention and terrorism, and that is be very careful in how they're reporting the shooter in particular, so that it doesn't become glorified.
I was about to ask you whether we are doing ourselves a disservice by reporting the minutiae of it and then by doing so perpetuating it.
Yes, I think we have strong evidence from the suicide literature when we look at cluster suicides in schools and communities, and when we look at terrorism events, that the way the media promotes it or how they talk about the shooter in particular and not about the victims, it doesn't cause it, but it causes a great increase in the frequency, and that's what we're seeing. By the way, violence in youth, including weapon access, being threatened by weapons, seeing weapons in California, has gone down dramatically in the last 20 years. People may not know that. That's true nationally, too. What we're seeing is an increase in these mass shootings where a lot of people, and those could be thought of as acts of terror, because they're not just getting victims that they know, they're getting innocent victims with the goal of getting lots of media coverage and their names out for perpetuity. So I think we do need to change the way we talk about it and the way we report it.
Professor, thanks very much for joining us. That's Professor Ron Aviaster. He studies education and informational studies at UCLA and also specializes in school violence.